huh, Detective Pikachu comes out today. Perfect time for another movie review, Ian.
Yeah, it would be, but I am not going to have any time to see it.
Then what are we going to talk about?
Sonic?
Okay, sure. Let's be original.
Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is the Tails to my Sonic, Kyle JCRB Krause.
I thought I was the Knuckles to your Sonic. I thought I was your friendly nemesis. That's no fun.
Yeah, but you're the one who works with all the tech and supports me in all my harebrained adventures.
Oh, I guess you're right. I guess that's better. Okay, fine.
Plus you can fly with your butt, right?
I'll be Tails. I'm working on it.
Okay.
I am the tech guy, after all.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I am tired, dude. It's been a rough week.
Yeah, so I've heard. Mumblings of busyness on your end. And it doesn't help. We're actually, well, by the time this comes out, we'll be coming off of Mother's Day and just general busyness, and you've had 3 comics sell out recently.
Yeah, but we'll get to that in a little bit later. First off, we have your semi-reoccurring feature, talking about game controllers.
Indeed. We'll go ahead and touch on this real quick, because this is relevant because I had an issue the other day while streaming Aladdin, actually, which you'll probably be seeing. If you're not a patron, you'll be seeing it eventually, but I was streaming Aladdin for the Sega Genesis, and I kept having issues with my controllers dying. So, what I will say is that if you are using wireless controllers, wireless Bluetooth controllers specifically with Windows 10, and you're having issues with them constantly cutting out or getting stuck if you hold a button for more than like 3 seconds, go into your system device manager and go into your Bluetooth settings, or go into your Bluetooth device and look up power management, and make sure you turn off Windows's penchant for turning off things when they're quote unquote not in use. So go into your Bluetooth adapter, right click. Click properties, click power management, and then where it says allow the computer to turn off this device to save power, uncheck that box. just a pro tip from a pro gamer. I am neither of those things. But I recently updated my Bluetooth driver, and it re-enabled that function, and that was causing all sorts of hell. So, yeah, if you're having issues, there you go. Like, after 3 seconds, it was acting like Bluetooth was no longer enabled. And it's like, okay, this is stupid. Why is it doing this? This does not make any sense. And, well, that's why. Also, I will say that if you're having issues with your Xbox One controller, wireless controller specifically, and you have an Xbox One wireless adapter for PC, make sure that's in a well-ventilated area that's getting plenty of, at least some form of air movement, or isn't in a tiny box in a corner, just heating itself to oblivion, because when that little USB adapter starts getting hot, it stops working. So that was another issue I was having. So basically, Ian, I was trying to play games on my computer, and I couldn't control them. Now, you may be wondering to yourself, Kyle, why don't you just get a wireless controller or a wired controller? I say, dang it, we came all this way. We went through so many incarnations of wireless controllers that were complete garbage. We finally gotten to a point where wireless controllers are actually decent. I want to play with wireless controllers, dang it. I don't want to play with wired controllers anymore. I'm tired of tripping over them and pulling them and yanking systems off of freaking shelves and like having my computer fall to the ground just because I'm holding my controller while I'm running away from it for some reason. I don't know why I'd be doing that because that would be really stupid, but who knows what would happen. It's come on. We've come all this way. Wireless controller technology is good now. It's just, you know, Windows is finicky. If you're on Linux or Mac OS, you're probably fine, which is funny, but whatever. Anyway. So that's my rant for this week.
Thank you for joining us for another segment of Kyle Gets Mad at Video Games.
I wasn't mad at the video game. I was just mad at the controller.
And Kyle gets mad at controllers.
Yes, that does happen sometimes. Anyway, Ian. What else should we talk about before we get on into the main topic?
Well, the other topic is part of the broader scope, so I think we'll just fold it on in there. And
okay.
What we decided to touch on today is Sonic, which we haven't directly talked about as the main topic in a while.
It's true.
He said, trying desperately to defend this.
Come on, Ian.
There's been a fair bit of...
Come on, Ian, you know this is going to be the most listened to episode of the year so far.
Right, no, the most listened to is when the Sonic movie comes out and we do our review of
that. Okay. Yes. Yeah,
and
we are going to review that, of course.
How about that trailer, everybody?
I gotta be honest. Overall, the trailer, not complete garbage. Sonic's design, yes. The trailer itself, I've seen worse kids movies.
Not many.
I don't know. I didn't think the trailer itself was too bad.
The trailer was wonderfully informative. It's kind of like a big neon sign saying, don't do this! But, I don't know. The trailer itself and how it portrays the movie is about what I thought, which is the most basic, bare bones mediocrity tie-in you could cobble together. The two things that really stuck in my craw were, one, the Sonic design, which that has been discussed to Green Hill Zone and back.
Ad nauseum, yes.
There's nothing new to be added to that discussion. It's bad on every conceivable level, at every principle level. It's just awful.
Yeah.
And I am legitimately surprised that the outcry was so severe that they said, okay, we're going to change this. Like, there are the conspiracy theories out there that this was all just a big facade, that they intentionally put their worst foot forward to drum up attention.
They spent a lot of money on the marketing of that terrible design, if so.
Yeah, I don't buy that because
no,
the amount of CG that we saw is costly.
Very.
The amount of money that went into the design and distribution of the teaser posters and standees is costly. The press kits that went out and were leaked, those take time and money. That is a lot of effort that would not necessarily have gone to the masses just to pull a gotcha.
Yeah.
I assumed that they would kind of just put their head in the sand and forge ahead and hope it did well in the overseas market. But the fact that within, 24, 48 hours, they said, nope, we're going to fix it, or at least change it, I think that is a testament of just how bad it was received. Yikes.
Yeah, and it's also possibly a testament of how little artistic integrity actually went into the whole design. I feel like it was... This is probably... What it ended up being was Sonic designed by committee.
Yep.
That's what it seems like. Was like, they probably put something forward The original designers, the original animators, probably put something forward like probably pretty similar to Sonic's classic design that we know and love. And it just ended up getting bounced around from person to person in desperate attempts to try and change it to make it quote unquote more appealing. And they just ended up with the monstrosity that we have.
We also have Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik, and it's exactly what I was afraid of. It's not Jim Carrey playing a character, it's Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey. Which, by itself, you know, if he's in some goofy movie like Ace Ventura or, you know, 100 other things, that's fine. That brand of comedy has gotten a little stale on me, but it's still funny, it's still entertaining. But you take, you know, what he did as Riddler to a degree.
Sure.
Or, what was the name of the movie? Where he's living in a TV show and he doesn't know it.
Oh man, you got me on the. I know what movie you're talking about. That's the one movie.
Dang, I'm gonna think of it about 30 minutes into the show.
I know,
and go, aha!
Yeah, and we got
Truman Show.
Yeah, Liar, Liar.
Also, Truman Show, yeah. I think, for me, is kind of like that bar. You know, he was still goofy, he was still Jim Carrey, but he was a person. He was a character within the film that you felt for. And I'm not saying that he had to, you know, really dig deep for this version of Robotnik, but Carrey can be unsettling. He can be the kind of person that enters a room and you just naturally watch him because he's got that charisma and that energy. And he could very easily do that kind of entertaining goofball who, at the flip of a switch, is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
That kind of unstoppable ego that just rolls over everything. He could have been really good as Robotnik. What we get is Jim Carrey just talking over people and being a jerk, as Jim Carrey does. And it's lazy, and I hate it. And it's really disappointing, because I was actually on board with him being Robotnik. And it's so weird to say that name after Eggman has been the standard since 2001. It's like, I have to correct myself. It's like, he's being Eggman. No. They're using Robotnik. And hot diggity, I'm so glad they're bringing up that debate again. Because heaven knows I'm not tired of that one.
You seem angry, Ian.
No, I'm perfectly fine. But as I've said repeatedly online, this is going to be a hot mess. We're still going to see it like day one, and I'm going to hate it. But somebody is going to enjoy it. There's going to be some little kid who goes in who doesn't know Sonic from an echidna, and they're going to love it because it's going to be bright and colorful, and the humor is going to be right up their alley, and they'll have fun with it, and it will be their Sonic, and
I think
they can have it.
I think it's going to be funny if I end up being the one who thinks it's not so bad and you're the one who hates it.
Or vice versa.
No, I don't. I think I might be okay with it. Although, you know, changing Sonic's design to be something more akin to his actual iconic design, that might actually make the movie worse. It might just make it boring. Because at least before we had this monstrosity of a vaguely Sonic-looking man-hog who just looked terrible and makes the movie look terrible. Now it'll just be kind of bland and normal Sonic looking, so it won't be as bad.
So what you're saying is you wish we had the train wreck rather than a derailment.
Kinda. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be just kind of boring and pedestrian if it's not a complete and utter mess. If it's just mostly a mess. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that, but I'm reserving judgment for Jim Carrey until I see the movie, but you're probably right. It's what we see in the trailer is probably representative of how he acts throughout most of the movie.
That
and which is kind of a shame. I would hope for something a little bit more along the lines of the portrayal of Eggman that we're used to. Sorry, Robotnik that we're used to. But on the other hand, we've had so many different variations of Robotnik and Eggman over the years that I'm kind of okay with different take. So that doesn't bother me too much.
And I suppose.
I'll say that Sonic's voice and personality are pretty good.
But yeah, I will grant you that.
But the design is where everything falls apart. So if the design is improved, then who knows? The movie may just end up being boring, or it might end up being entertaining. I don't think it'll be good, but it could be entertaining.
So there's that.
Indeed.
Or there it will be.
Eventually. And here's hoping they delay the movie so they can actually do the work properly instead of driving all their animators to the dirt, to an early grave, overworking them to make this Sonic redesign happen.
Although, if they were doing things properly, we wouldn't be here, so I won't hold my breath.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We got Team Sonic Racing coming out later this month.
Oh yeah, is that already coming out this month? I forgot.
Uh-huh. I am super hyped for the soundtrack more than anything else.
Uh-huh, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Kyle. I know you're right there with me. The soundtrack is just so good.
Well, yeah, when you get June Senoway back, I'm on board.
I can't pick. There's just so many good remixes of tracks.
Yeah.
The main theme is another Crush 40 anthem that has burrowed itself into my brain. And I love my new musical overlord that rules all my thoughts. And I hope the game is fun, too. But I don't get the thing, Kyle, is the soundtrack. And I want all of it in my ear holes right now.
Yes. I'm right there with you. I need that music. I need that June Senoway goodness. Give it to me. Give it to me now.
And over on the live stream, they actually showed off a fair bit. And it was either on the live stream or it was on an article that was kind of previewing stuff. One of the stages actually brings back King Boom Boo from Sonic Adventure 2. So if you are one of those hardcore fans who always loves to see, you know, the little things brought back, there you go! We got the boos back. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. The Sonic boos, though. These are different from Mario boos in that they're ghosts that chase you and try and kill you. Not ghosts that chase you and try and kill you.
Earlier that, because I thought initially they were just booms, but apparently there's like a whole hierarchy of them. Like, collectively they're boos, and the smallest ones are boos, but then the bigger ones are like boom boos, and then you've got King Boom Boo, and it's not 100% consistent or clear, but it's there. At least it's not just straight up Mario boos.
Well, I mean, there's King Boo and Mario, so...
Not Boom Boo, though.
Oh, no, Boom Boom is a different character completely.
No.
That's what I said. I'm not saying Boom Boom, not Boom Boo. Different characters. It's okay, Ian. Sonic rips off Mario. It happens sometimes.
And vice versa.
Not very often in Mario terms, though. And how does Mario Galaxy rip off Sonic?
Sonic Adventure 2.
Well, Sonic ripped off Mario Galaxy even harder with Lost World.
It wasn't ripping off, it was taking back what was theirs.
Okay.
Including the fire-breathing horned villain in a castle.
Can we just agree that the execution of any Mario game doing something that a Sonic game did is usually better?
So to preserve my job, we're going to move on and talk about the success of the comic.
Yes, we will talk about the comic. Let's talk about the comic that you've been writing for just over a year now, actually.
Season 1.
16th issue came out.
All wrapped up. We're getting well into season 2 here. And holy mackerel, I was not prepared for the response we got to this. This is insane. So, okay, out of 16 issues, we'll say 17 because the annual came out, and that's kind of like a extra large issue, more or less.
Sure. I mean, they're all standalone stories that you don't really need to read to enjoy the main story, but still, yes.
Issue number 1 sold out twice. Issue 2 sold out. Issue 3 sold out. Issue 4 sold out. All in the same month.
Uh-huh.
So that's five runs of the book that sold out right there. 14 sold out, 15 sold out, and the annual sold out. So out of the 17-ish titles or issues we've put out, about half have sold out using my fuzzy math. Sure. And I think seven might have as well. I'm not 100% sure on that. So the fact that this thing is just going nuts is incredibly humbling. That it's pulling in like double the numbers of what the old books used to consistently is staggering.
I know of some people who gloss over that.
Well, I mean, if the old in the old run, you know, I put so much effort and care into the new characters that we were introducing, you know, hoping that each one would take off. And some of them have, you know, found their popularity within the fan base and kind of endure there. But none of them would have gotten a miniseries like less than a year after their debut. So the fact that the fans have responded so well to Tangle and Whisper to get them their own book, brief as it may be, is just, it's indescribable. The amount of success and hype that this book has had exceeds even my wildest expectations. So straight from me to you, from the writer to all of the fans who are listening to the show, thank you for making this such a success and for being so cool and for losing your minds over issue 16. I have not laughed such evil laughter in so long.
Oh boy. Yeah, it's been one heck of a ride. Man, I'm so happy that Tangle and Whisper cottoned on with the fans as well as they have, because they are a ton of fun, and I can't wait to see more of them. I'm especially interested in learning more about Whisper's backstory, because, you know, Tangle kind of wears her backstory on her sleeve. We kind of know what she's up to, or what she's been up to. But Whisper's kind of a mystery, and I'm very interested in hearing everything about her past, because it seems like she's been through one heck of a time. Let's just say, just based on kind of, I think it was the annual actually, where she, where Tangle jumps off the plane and Whisper's like, oh, not again, or something like that. I forget exactly.
No, Jewel gets tossed out of the plane.
Oh, Jewel. Yeah, that's right. Jewel.
Presumably to her doom.
Yeah. And Whisper says, oh, not again. But so there's definitely something there in her past that's like, oh boy, you've been through one heck of a time, haven't you? So I am definitely interested in her story going forward.
In the old run, I was a big fan of the slow burn.
Yep.
You know, plant the seed and eventually tease it out into the full reveal.
I always liked the slow burn too, so I appreciate it.
The Egg Dome, nobody saw it being the Death Egg 2, and I was so happy with that payoff. But with IDW Sonic, I'm taking a much more fast-paced approach. Yeah, I'm not looking at this as multiple-year sagas, as each interconnecting subplot builds towards each one and cresting like waves upon the beach. This is much more, here's the core story, here's all the cool stuff that happens in it, and that's the season. Thank you very much. Season one was what it was. So with Whisper, we're not going to drag out her backstory. The miniseries is going to tell you exactly what happened. You're going to get the whole plateful, and I hope you saved room for dessert, because there's even more after that.
Okay, good. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
It really is one of those things where a lot of this is kind of untested territory, because even though I have been working with the franchise for so long, as I've said, IDW and Sega's relationship is still very new, and it's more or less starting from scratch. It's a new Sonic book, so it's never really sure what we can and can't do until we try.
Yeah.
And there's been some stuff where I'm like, well, let's give it a shot. when I get shot down, here's my backup plan. Oh, no, that worked. They said, okay. Okay. Case in point, the most recent issue. And you if you haven't read it yet, skip ahead to the Q&A, I guess, because we're going to get a little spoilery here. But the whole sequence where the metal virus is dumped onto Windmill Village, I kind of wondered, is this going to be too dark for a second? Is this going to go a little too far? And no. No notes whatsoever on the whole thing. They were like, yeah, that's really exciting. And it's like, okay. Because, you know, once this ball gets rolling, it's a zombie apocalypse. Things only get worse from here. And, you know, we get a little further, and it's like, how about this? And like, yeah, that's exciting. All right, what if I do this? Yeah, that's cool too. All right, then what about this? Approved. Okay, this is going to be a heck of a season.
Oh, boy.
And it's especially fun. I feel like this is the best indicator of so far I've been doing things right, in that I see the discussion of who's next. You know, so we introduced the concept in 15 with Rough and Tumble getting infected. And they're the mooks. They're kind of the joke villains. They're expendable.
Right.
And then Sonic gets infected, and you're like, oh, okay, the usual safety bars are down. Well, he's got it under control. Sure, but he's still a vector for it. And now we bump it up. We've got our hero in peril. Now we bump it up to random civilians are not safe. Okay, what goes next? And folks are going, okay, who is next? Who's going to fall? Who is safe? Who isn't? And you see all these people rationalizing, like, well, obviously the story has to go this direction, so this character is safe. Or, no, what if they don't do that? What if this character instead? And that starts to build the tension. And as the issues go on, folks are going to feel less and less like there's control, which is exactly the theme of the story. And it's going to be really fun watching everybody.
That's like roboticization turned up to 11. I love it. It's going to be crazy. It's just, I mean,
it is,
it's just wild.
It follows a similar theme, but the real distinction is with the old robotization, you had to be captured, you had to be transported, and you had to be transformed.
This is like a virus that turns everybody into a mindless T-1000.
Exactly. So there is no safe space. There's no buffer zone. There's no factory to destroy. There's no prisons to liberate. Everyone has a target on their head now.
Yes.
Yeah. And can I also say that it is such a delight to get to write Eggman again? I mean,
hey, you didn't write him for a little while there. He was kind of gone.
He was. Season one, I didn't want it to be too standard Sonic, because I felt like if folks are jumping onto this new book, if we just gave them the standard Sonic versus Eggman, it would be a little too familiar, you know? It would be exactly what you expected, and so not necessarily as engaging. If you put in the mystery of where did he go, if you give the looming threat of a new villain, as it turned out with Neo Metal Sonic, I feel like that's just enough of a spin on the formula to get people a little more engaged right from the start. But now that he's back, he's just so cathartic to write, Kyle.
I hope that in the future, though, if you do bring back Metal Sonic and do a speaking role, that you just make him speak exclusively in Crush 40. You were almost...
half the book anyway.
You were almost... Well, yeah. But you were almost there with him during season one. It's like, oh, wow, he's literally just quoting his own theme song at them now. Okay, I get it. I'm on board. But
can,
you know,
I say, when brilliance is put before me, who am I not to mine it?
Exactly. I just think it would be funny if you just... That was his shtick forever. Exclusively. Just always talking in Crush 40. All right. Oh, man. And I completely forgot how absolutely ridiculous Metal Overlord looks. It's so ridiculous. It might be one of the most ridiculous designs in Sonic history, barring the movie.
Now, the one featured in the comic is technically Master Overlord.
That's, oh yeah, and, okay, man, yeah.
And did get a redesign by Tracy Yardley.
Okay.
Some of it came from my direction. I wanted to make him look a little more streamlined, because as goofy as Metal Overlord, the thing that bugs me the most is that he looks junky. Part of the threat to me is undermined by the fact that he looks like he was cobbled together from various different model kits by somebody who was just kind of being interpretive. With Master Overlord, it's much more streamlined. Everything is much sleeker. There's a lot of more overt blades. And, of course, you've got the Master Emerald in his chest.
Right.
Which actually changed some positioning as Sega gave us feedback on what the final design should look like. But, yeah, so if you're looking at Master Overlord, saying that isn't quite game accurate, that's because he's different.
That's fine. I wasn't thinking
he's a game... special and unique boy.
I wasn't thinking game accurate in the slightest. I was just thinking, man, he just looks weird. I could. Is this a thing? Was this a thing the Sonic games actually did? And yeah, it kind of was. Oh, man. I kind of miss, though, Red Metal Sonic from Chaotix.
Yeah, Metal Sonic Kai would be great to come back. I don't know if he's available, because...
That would be technically classic era, yeah.
Oh, that's that. There's that, too. I hadn't thought of that. I was just thinking that Knuckles Chaotix is kind of fringe canon. It kind of isn't, since the Chaotix are canon as of Heroes.
Right.
So, but we did kind of get a nod to him in Mania Plus.
Yep.
So...
Mania is considered classic, though, isn't it?
That's true. So
yeah.
Probably won't see Kai. Well, we probably won't see Metal Sonic transforming anytime soon. Anyway, because we just did that.
So?
And we've got... Look, buddy, we have so much planned for season two.
I'm
there's
joking.
No room for it.
I'm joking. Even though I do enjoy me some Metal Sonic.
Also super excited that folks seem to be so taken by Dr. Starline.
He's a lot of fun. I'm waiting for his inevitable deception. His inevitable turn. Seems like it's going to happen. I don't know.
Says that.
Yep.
And it's like, will he?
Well, you know, it might take
will
a while.
Will he really?
It might take a while. That might be that's your slow burn right there. That could be your real slow burn. Like, you don't even know it's burning. And
No. I've got season two planned out to the end. I'm just waiting for the last little bit to get approved, but I know where it's going.
What about season 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 and 11?
Well, I know what I would like 15. To do, but they won't let me write the book 5 years in advance for some reason.
Well, why not? That's lame.
At that point, since we keep selling out, I don't know.
They should. Here you go, Ian. You just have an open check.
I mean, we could be here patting ourselves on the back for forever, but...
No, patting you on the back, not me. I didn't do anything. I just read it. Don't give me credit. Some people are trying to blame me for things you've done. I didn't do it, Ian. It wasn't me. I have nothing to do with IDW. Not that I would mind having something to do with IDW. If you're hiring IDW, let me know. But I'm joking. Or am I? Anyway.
Let's just wrap it up by saying, again, thank you so much to everyone who's been enjoying the series and for making it such a success. I am truly grateful, humbled, and I hope you enjoy the rest of season two, because get nuts. You think things are crazy now? Mm-mm. We ain't even started. Well, okay, yes, we've started. We actually are kind of very much started, but...
You know, I think the people understand it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm gonna cut off there before I spoil something.
Yeah. I will say that I do like the pacing on the comic. It's fast. It's very fast. It's very different from Archie, the Archie era, and I appreciate that. You know, keep it moving. It's always a good thing. I'm having a good time reading it, and I hope that it goes on for many more years and decades, maybe another decade at least another decade, if not two or three or four. Can you write Sonic for that long, Ian?
Who's to say I haven't already?
All right. Well, with that Sonic discussion out of the way, let's talk more about Sonic in our Q&A segment.
If you want to ask us anything on the show, head over to bumblecast@yahoo.com or comment in any of the videos or tweet to us at bumblecast. Or if you're a patron, just post somewhere on the Patreon page. We'll find it.
Yep. Or in the Q&A chat on the Discord. I've got a channel set up in there for you guys to put your questions in. So I will hopefully remember to check that and grab the questions out of there. I do have a few that are from that. So if you're in the Discord, pop it in there and we'll get to it.
And if you want to get bumped to the head of the line, because it's kind of sort of first come, first serve, head over to patreon.com/bumblecast and become a $5 patron, or follow one of the links to our Ko-fi donation page and toss $5 our way. Just make sure to note that, you know, it's for the question, so we don't just think you're being nice, and you can get your way in there that way too.
Indeed.
Apologies if there's some distortion on my end. I have a cat who's nuzzling the mic stand. Stop it.
But the mic stand is so lovable and fun.
Apparently.
Okay. So, we got our Patreon priority Q&A here. And I'll give you one guess as to who is starting us off.
Is it Scruffy Matt?
Yes, it is.
Howdy, Scruffy.
He says, greetings and salutations. I have a question for Ian this episode. Sorry, Kyle. That's okay. You don't have to be sorry to me. I'm not the star of this show. The ending of Sonic Mania, with classic Sonic being whisked away by the Phantom Ruby, very clearly leads into his appearance in Sonic Forces. Then at the end of Sonic Forces, Sonic is returned to his own time, but I'm unsure as to what officially happens next. Both Sonic Mania Adventures and Sonic Mania Plus Encore begin with Sonic warping back into Angel Island Zone before branching off in separate directions. Do you know if either of these is considered canon? The canon conclusion to Sonic Mania?
Okay, do I know officially? No. But I would guess, and this is a guess, this is conjecture, this is not hard and fast, I don't want to see a wiki with a link saying, Ian Flynn confirmed this. No. What I would guess is that the game canon comes first, so that Encore mode would be considered the next installment, and that Adventures, like the comics and like any other spinoff, is just that, a spinoff.
Okay. Seems kind of weird to have a spinoff from a single game, but okay.
But it was amazing, so they can do it as much as they want.
I know, it absolutely was. It just seemed kind of strange. It just integrated into the story. I mean, come on. Anyway, next question comes from Aaron. What genre haven't you done yet in your professional career that you've wanted to do?
Ooh, good question. Let's say horror.
But like, you hate horror.
Oh, I hate horror. I do not want to be subjected to horror. But I have no problem subjecting others to horror.
Oh, you can create horror. You're okay with that. You just don't want to be horrified.
I probably wouldn't be able to proof the pages or read it once it came out, because
at the art and you'd be like, oh god.
Yeah, but it would be kind of nice to have that outlet to do something that is, you know, truly unsettling and kind of makes you check over your shoulder as you brush your teeth in the night. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at issue 16, a lot of people were horrified by, you know, the way it was done. And it's like, that's nothing. That's a kid's book. That's with the mittens on. Just imagine what I could do if I didn't have any restrictions. So
I got to say that
it would be kind of fun to do a horror book.
I got
to
say that the animal testing scenes were kind of like, holy crap, we're actually doing this.
Oh, yeah. People got upset over that. See?
That's, yeah. And that was one moment where I'm like, oh, man, this is... I think the kid gloves have officially come off of this book. Sure, they have revealed other sort of less kiddie gloves underneath them, but still.
Now, that isn't to say that Sonic is, like, my Trojan horse for my secret desire to do Predator or something. It's, yeah, that's just the nature of the story.
Sure.
I don't know. It would be neat to do something, whether it's like the sci-fi action-y horror of Predator or Alien or one of those franchises, or if it was just a straight up like Hostel or Child's Play or, you know, Stephen King at his creepiest, just horror stuff that kind of makes you go,
"Nyeh." Yeah.
I don't know. That might be kind of fun.
All right. And finally, for priority Q&A questions, at least, we have one from Andrew D.
Does this really count as one?
Well, you get to be the judge of that. I'll let you decide which ones of these you want to answer and how you want to answer them.
Well, we're here, so we'll just do it.
Okay. If Archie's Mega Man were ever to return, how would you approach the Genesis Nexus that was created at the end of Worlds Unite, since it was tied into the now-defunct Archie Sonic? Wow, it feels so sad saying that. How would Mr. X be handled without the crossover being a part of his background? And if IDW decided to pick up the license, would it be forced to be rebooted? Are the Archie-exclusive Mega Man characters owned exclusively by Capcom? And if IDW were allowed to pick up the Archie Mega Man comic where it left off, would we then be allowed to see the Genesis Nexus storyline finished, despite it now being a different Sonic? Or perhaps just having the license to each franchise would be enough to have Sonic simply mentioned by Mega Man without them actually meeting again? Basically, I'm really interested in knowing what can and can't be done in these situations. That is, either Archie continuing the comic or IDW getting the license and either rebooting it or
Okay. That should probably be like three different episodes worth of priority Q&A, but whatever, we're here. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Where to start with this? Number one, regardless of whether or not IDW got the Mega Man license or Archie continued or Udon got it or whatever, that would be exclusively its own thing. Just because the license is held by one does not impact the other. It would still require all the license holders and all the publishers to come to the table to agree to do any kind of crossover or referencing after that. Things were easier when it was all under Archie for obvious reasons, but even if Archie Sonic was still going and Archie Mega Man was still going, a third crossover would still have to get the individual approvals of Sega and Capcom before it could happen. If IDW were to pick up Mega Man, that would not necessarily make another crossover accessible, you know? It probably wouldn't be too hard given how cool they've been about it in the past, but it's business can be funky. So,
yeah,
it's saying one way or the other, yes, this would definitely happen. I can't do that. I don't know. I am not in those meetings. I am the lowly writer. Nexus. Nexus was a tease at the end of the second crossover because I was told as we were developing Worlds Unite that we were going to do a third event. I think it was supposed to be like 2 years after that one. So it'd be like you get a year story and then we'd get an event, then a year story and a year. Not going to lie, I was not wild about that idea because that means I get a little over a year to start the story up again and get it moving, and then I've got to put all my plans on hold and make sense of why we're making an event and then figure out yet another way to wrap it up so that it doesn't throw off the other books. But
yeah,
that's the joy of event books.
You start getting into Marvel event territory and
just
get crazy.
The event books also really boosted sales, so it's really hard to say no do that when, you know, it keeps the books alive. So
sure,
that's a decision that was also above my head, and glad I didn't have to make that one because it would be a very hard choice. But Nexus was going to be kind of the answer to the problem of, well, how do we tie these characters in every single time? If Nexus was kind of a fixed point outside of other continuities, we could cherry pick whoever we want to toss them onto Nexus and say, hey, this is the crossover event, and get beamed back to where they just came from, and it's neat and tidy, and I don't have to think too hard about it, and things could just keep rolling. That is probably all out the window entirely now, in part because if we were to do another kind of, probably have to be fresh entirely. just because I don't think the publishers would want to base a storyline off of something that is not one of theirs and that they can't directly reference or profit from. You know, IDW Sonic is its own thing. So why jump through all the hoops to reference a comic that you can't buy anywhere, that has no bearing on this story, just to continue a continuity that they're not associated with? So I guess if we were to see any kind of Sonic Mega Man crossover again, it probably would be just a brand new story. Don't quote me on that. Don't take that as hard and fast, because, again, I have no idea what the various companies and licensors would say as to what would happen and what would be available. I don't know. That is beyond me. In terms of referencing it, so let's say that Archie Mega Man starts up tomorrow because, hey, the hiatus is over. We're just picking up where we left off. Huzzah. Mr. X wouldn't ever have to reference his backstory again, or at least not the crossover. He was Xander Payne. He went through some timey-wimey, and now he's Mr. X. Now, he doesn't have to reference what's in between. He has his motivation in the present. He had his motivation in the past. It's very easy to just move that character without having to reference either or the major events. Let's look back at this paragraph.
Good old Wallow text.
In terms of, does Capcom own the original characters? I think so. When I talked to one of the Capcom reps years ago at the San Diego Comic-Con? Oh, I don't even remember.
San Diego might be the most likely.
They said that, yes, everything created was by default Capcom's, so, you know, the possibility of Quake Woman showing up in a game was on the table, what have you. If it were to start up again, there's a lot of question marks on that one. Like, it's been so long since it went on hiatus. Would Archie prefer to jump ahead to Mega Man 11 just to keep more current with the games and we, you know, fill in the blanks later? Would Capcom prefer us to jump ahead to that? If a new licensor picked it up, would they want us to pick up where we left off as they buy the old catalog for reference? Or would we have to start from scratch because it's a new deal with a new licensor and a new publisher, so all the old stuff is off the table, and they don't reference these comic-exclusive characters that aren't in any media? There are so many questions and so many answers to come from, you know, people above me that I really have no idea how exactly things would proceed if they were to come back, because I don't know, and I would not be able to control it. You know, I just write the things. I put out the ideas, and hopefully they go out there. And it's great if the powers that be look at what I do and say, hey, that's neat, let's elevate it and use it elsewhere within the franchise. But that pretty much just never happened. So... And that's fine. That's just the nature of the gig. So I don't see it happening. I understand all the questions and the desire for these answers, but the answers don't really exist. You get me? It's such a nebulous area of business talks about utilizing franchise assets that it's really a guessing game. It could be anything. So I know what I would like to see. I would love for it to just pick up where we left off, where I can finally get to the Mega Man 4 story that I was building towards the entire time and go nuts with it. But, you know, if I were fortunate enough to be put onto another Mega Man comic project, I would be at the mercy of whatever the deal was. And I would just have to do the best I could with it.
All right. Let's move on into the standard Q&A. First one comes from Almiron R. My question for you is to know, do you want to make a new multiverse for IDW Sonic in the future? And what scenarios would you have in mind?
Well, with the nature of the IDW book being based on the games, we already have the multiverse baked in.
Right.
Because you've got Sonic's world, you've got the human world, you've got Blaze's world. question of whether or not Little Planet goes into a pocket dimension or just has a funny orbit. That might be a question to ask. But you know, right there, we've got three different dimensions, three different universes to pull from. So, yeah, there we go. Now, I know that's not your question. You're asking more like classic Archie Sonic style multiverse. And maybe, I mean, the evil parallel universe is always a tempting, easy trope to mine from. But like I said, when the book first started, we're very, very new. You know, we're only 16 issues into the series, and we've barely begun to scratch the surface of story potential on just Sonic's world. You know, if once we get, you know, deeper into that, there's so much we can do on the other two worlds that I really don't see a need to do multi-dimension hopping anytime in the near future.
Not really necessary. Unless you make it like a tradition where the 19th issue of every comic introduces the giant multiverse of various Sonics. But
now if we went full that. Multiverse, what I would prefer is if we did a Sega multiverse.
Yeah.
And him start going to like all the different franchises.
Meeting up with Alex Kidd or Space Harrier guy.
Yeah.
Or driving in Daytona. You know, that's a thing that could happen, right? Why not? All right, next question comes from James M. What were Scourge the Hedgehog's evil plans before the Super Genesis wave happened? Speaking of evil alternate universe versions of characters.
I will be getting into that more in depth with Lost Hedgehog Tales one day. But suffice to say, he was going for revenge. And I mean big revenge, like planetary scale revenge.
That doesn't sound like it would be served very cold, unless he was going to plunge the world into an ice age or something.
Necessarily be cold, but it would be cool.
Oh, okay. I'm just thinking, like, you know, it's a dish best served cold. So I'm just thinking, like, okay, how would it be cold? It's a bad joke, Ian. It's terrible.
I know. I'm just watching you swing in the wind. It's kind of fun.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're not helping me in the slightest. It's fine. I wouldn't help you either. And our final question comes from Liam B. I have a question about Mobius 30 years later. I love the Tails and Mina coupling, but why was that chosen? Is there any backstory for it as to how it happened or its backstory? Backstory in there twice. If not, why was it chosen from a writer's standpoint?
Okay, so, take this with a grain of salt because I don't know for sure. Because the Tails and Mina pairing was introduced in Mobius 25 years later, and it was something I inherited when I picked up the storyline years later. From my understanding, I can't remember who it was who said this. It was either Ken Penders or Carl Bowlers, I'm pretty sure. Again, this is years and years ago. But one of them said that the script didn't really specify that in particular, and that the editor at the time, Justin Gabri, and one of the artists or somebody else were talking about the scene and thought, wouldn't it be funny if they just plugged Mina in there? And so they did. That is my understanding, is that there was no greater thinking behind it. It was just, hey, wouldn't it be funny if Tails married Mina? And that was it. That was the entirety of that scene's origin.
That's how a lot of these things happen, though, Ian. They just kind of, there's not really much thought that goes into them. It's not like it's some big grand plan a lot of the time. I think people kind of think that you have big grand plans for every single thing that happens. Sometimes it's just spur of the moment. Sometimes it's just, plug that person in there. Why not?
And there's been at least one instance in IDW where fans have reacted to a particular scene in a way that I didn't foresee.
Oh, yeah.
And went, oh, okay, well, if that's what they're thinking, then okay, we'll change course a little bit and go that way. But, and Liam, don't quote me on that as hard truth, because I am taking this as like secondhand info at best, and it's really old going by memory. So it could be that that was just gossip. It could be that it's wrong. It could be that I'm exactly right and whoever I heard it from was telling the truth. I don't know for sure.
Right.
But even if I didn't know that much, I wouldn't have known myself because that was before my time.
Yeah.
But and I'm pretty sure that's how it went.
And ultimately, the X years later stories were probably technically not canonical.
Oh, no, absolutely
in
not.
The sense that it was just kind of a look into a potential future for the characters, not as in like, oh, this is definitely what's going to happen in 30 years, because a lot of things can happen in 30 years.
Yeah, and I remember this old debate is that I hated the idea of it being the canonical future because
you know
how things end. You know that these characters will be in this position in 30 years. Anything you do in the present is hamstrung because they have to be able to reach that point in 30 years. And it's already hard enough presenting the illusion of forward progression in characters that have to remain on brand issue to issue. So, yeah, no, 30 years later was not canon. It was never canon. Only one person said it was canon, and every editor and writer besides them said, no, it's not. So, it's not canon.
Yeah. No, it's a fun exercise, but it's you kind of write yourself into a corner doing stuff like that. So, I don't see. It's interesting, though. It's a good thought experiment sometimes.
Oh, sure.
It's cool to kind of explore maybe a potential future, but it's not the potential future.
Yeah, alternate futures are always fun. That's the other trope I love.
Exactly. I love alternate timelines. I'm a Back to the Future fan. Of course I love timelines. I also love DeLoreans. It kind of comes with the territory. Oh, Ian, I have a question for you. I'm pretty sure we have covered this on the show, or we have talked about it before. I don't know. But since I'm now officially finally caught up on Sonic comics, I feel like I can talk about this more. Can Whisper see? She opens her eyes occasionally, but she seems to always have them. I don't know if they're completely closed or is she just like squinting all the time?
It's kind of like Brock from Pokemon or...
Okay.
I had other examples off the top of my head. But yeah, it's kind of a visual trope where their eyes are usually very, very closed.
Yeah.
I actually knew somebody like that. When he opened his eyes fully, it was kind of freaky.
Oh, yeah. I know a few people who have, like, they have very closed-looking or squinting eyes. So I was just wondering if that was the case, or if it was, like, her helmet face thing kind of augmented her vision or whatever. Is that what that does, or is that just...
We'll be touching on that in the spring and the miniseries.
Okay. I just thought maybe it was cool because she's cool. So she had to have some cool headgear because she's cool. I mean, that is what it's for, right? To be cool.
Not going to lie. Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay. How did I know? It's because I know you, Ian.
Well, no, actually the...
rule of cool. I like the rule.
The mask and the eye shape were Evan Stanley's design.
Yeah.
I had a very, very vague design description for her look, and it was mostly the characterization and the use of the variable wisp on. So all the other little details are all Evan.
I gotta say, every time I see Evan Stanley or Jennifer Hernandez's name, I get a little excited. I get a little happy because I'm like, this issue's gonna have beautiful art. Not to say that all the artists aren't excellent in their own right. It's just when those two are at it, I'm like, yes, yes, please.
You should try to have them on the show at some point.
We should. All right, that's going to do it for the Q&A on this episode of the Mumblecast, and coincidentally, we'll also do it for this episode of the Mumblecast.
Before we wrap up, we're going to give a big thank you to everyone who makes this show possible. Thank you to our lovely patrons that include Daniel H., Eric F., Connell T., Alex P., Andrew D., Scruffy Matt, Saturn Flicky, Do As Diz Din, I'm going to say it right, Chris A., John B., Jennifer R., David C., Revan the Light, Lisa M., Dave M., Dave B., Mike B., Sam P., Sam Cybercat, Digama F., Wow, Dragon Superfan, AE Double, Brody M, Neil H, Justin G, Dan M S, Adam T, Silly String, DeCaro, Lee H K, Chevelle, Don B, San Fritz, Taco Elgato Comics, John M, James K, Adam B T, Overthinking Films, and Ron. There's some new names in there. That threw off my rhythm.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's been some shuffling and some new names thrown in that have kind of changed the order and the overall feeling of the list, and it's like, you know. Not quite the same, not quite like it has been for a little while. So, hello, new people. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Where can the people find you, Ian?
Head over to BumbleKing.com. That has the release schedule for everything that I've got coming out, to the best of my knowledge, my con appearances, news, and all sorts of fun stuff. How about you, Kyle?
You can head on over to Twitter, at KyleJCRB. You can find me there. I've been slightly more active on there recently. It's been kind of fun. Been having a good time. Getting involved and sort of, doing a slight trolling thing, because I'm a troll at heart, really. It's a thing I do, Ian. It's a problem, really. Except it's not, because I'm having a good time. And you can also head on over to kngi.org, where you can find archived episodes of the Bumblecast in MP3 format, and you can also find my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which you can listen to streaming live Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a show all about awesome video game music remixes, and other fan-made goodness. So be sure to go check it out.
You can follow updates on the show on Twitter at Bumblecast, and you can contact us at bumblecast@yahoo.com.
And if you want to get our Bumble faces on a Bumble shirt that you can wear on your Bumble body, head on over to the Bumble store at shop.spreadshirt.com/Bumble store. You can also get the show logo and the Bumble King logo, all sorts of other fun stuff. So go check it out.
Patrons can enjoy exclusive gaming streams by Kyle and myself every Sunday evening, usually around 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure to follow at Bumblecast on Twitter for any updates on that.
And we do have a Twitch channel at twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming. I should really get back into trying to use that. I've been having some bandwidth issues in terms of the internet lately, but I might have found a way to get around it. We'll see. So twitch.tv/BumblecastGaming, keep an eye out, and I will announce that stuff on the Bumblecast Twitter and everywhere else, so. Go head on over there and give us a follow and whatever you do on Twitch. I forget what it's called. So, because you can subscribe over there, but subscribing is different from subscribing on YouTube. And why do they use this terminology, Ian? They use all the same terminology, but it means different things. It's very confusing. I'm lost. I'm getting old, Ian. I'm turning into a boomer over here.
Nope,
I'm feeling it, Ian. I'm feeling like I'm out of touch, and that
an irrational hatred of avocado and millennials?
Is it me, or is it the kids that are wrong? I am a millennial, so of course I have an irrational hatred of them.
Well, then I can't.
I'm joking, actually. I do not irrationally hate millennials, and I do quite enjoy avocado. Maybe not on toast so much, but I do like avocado. I like it in the form of guacamole. Guacamole's good, and I like it on sandwiches. That's good, and burgers, that's good too. Anyway, guacamole on burgers.
That's
gonna
wrap us up for Bumblecast episode 91. I'm gonna let Kyle talk about how much he enjoys avocado, but we'll see you in a couple weeks for episode 92. Have an avocado night, everybody.
I'm hungry. What is this show, Ian? What are we doing?
A miserable pile of secrets.
What secrets do you have? I'm like Tangle over here. I don't have any secrets. Don't be like, are you the whisper to the Tangle of this show? I thought it'd be the other way around. But I don't know.
I had a little idea for a faux intro.
I saw that.
Do you want to do that, or do you want to just do show regular?
We'll do that.
Okay.
What? You think I am the no fun guy? I mean, I am, but...
No. I want to make sure... This is a partnership. I don't want to be just Kyle. This is what we're doing.
But it has your name and your logo on it. It literally says Bumble, and it has the Bumble King on. I'm joking.
I'm glad, because I had nothing.
I'm joking. It's fine. Okay. I'm ready.
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
Da 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 da